All right, I believe we are live. Welcome, welcome, welcome. AJ Rivera here, where we're going to get started here on AJ TV in just a few minutes, where I am going to have the extreme honor of interviewing a good friend of mine named Cora Poge, who's a digital nomad. She is a woo-woo. We'll kind of explain what that is when she gets on here in a minute. And yeah, we're going to talk about everything online business, online entrepreneur. It's going to be very exciting. So if you can hear me, let me know in the comments really quick. And hey, if you like me, maybe just tell Facebook that. Feel free to share, tag your friends, whatever you want to do. We're going to get things rolling here in just a few minutes. I'm just double checking, making sure all of our tech stuff is working. And this is going to be really good. I'm really excited for this. So I'm getting things rolling on here ASAP. Our guest, Cora Poge, is going to be here any minute. We're making sure her tech stuff is working okay. And yeah, so we'll get started here in just a few minutes. So yeah, it's been really nice here in LA lately. I have been, I was in Chicago last week doing my wife's last week of Thai massage training, which is kind of like yoga and massage mixed. It's really interesting. It's like when you think of these massages where the woman like climbs on the person's back and like stomps on them and like bends them in weird positions. That's what she was doing for the past few months. So that was awesome. And she kind of finished that up, which is great, because now we don't have to travel every single month. We were traveling literally every month for the past 8 months to Chicago, which was fine, but that much travel kind of knocks me out personally. So it really throws me out of my routine here. But yeah, we're going to get started here in just a few minutes as soon as my good friend Cora, her tech stuff is working and everything is good to go. We'll get things going here in just two minutes or so. Hey, if you're watching this, let me know. I'm curious to know what the weather's like where you're at. Because I had the two extremes. I was in Chicago. It was kind of gloomy and cold. Then I came here to Chicago and to LA and it's sunny and bright, which is awesome. So yes, and that should be really, really exciting. I'll be really excited for that. And yeah, let me know what's going on. Hey, if you have any questions for Cora too, throw them in the comments below, and that would be awesome. I for the first time went oh, here she is. What's up, Cora P? How's it going? Good. Your eyes look open to me. They look fantastic as normal. All right, let's get this sorted here. I got. Let me make sure. Hey, if you guys can hear Cora, let me know. I'm gonna switch over to you. Let me see. I haven't run this thing for like a few weeks, so it's a little weird. There you are, Cora, on the interwebs. There, awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to hang out with you.
Thank you. It's really fun to hang out with you too.
Hey, if you guys can hear Cora, let me know in the comments. Ooh, they all can. I guess so. Cool. Everybody's telling me. How's weather in? Are you in Kauai today, right now?
Yes. Yes.
We're talking about weather because I couldn't think of anything more interesting. So that's what I'm talking about today. And I'll be looking over here, but no, my heart is looking right here, Cora. Okay.
Got it.
Cool. Carrie's got, we got some people already have questions for you. So what have you been doing today? What's up? What's good?
What's good? Well, I was actually contemplating this while I was brushing my teeth, and I just realized that I set an alarm this morning for the first time in months. And I just realized that is such, like, that to me, that's really an amazing element of living my dream life, and is being able to sleep until my body wakes up. And when I was an elementary school teacher, I was setting my alarm for 5 a.m. and like getting up and running and the snow and like stressed out by the time I got to school. And so it's just a very different lifestyle. So I was just feeling a lot of gratitude for that today.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's and I think that's one of the like big things. And I'm gonna do the formal intro here in a second, just so that when we cut it up and put it on YouTube and podcast, it looks good and everything. But I think that's one of the things I admire so much about you is that you have all this gratitude for everything that you do all the time, and you it's very obvious when you talk to you, so which I'm sure you do all the time. All right, cool. Thank you for tuning in. I'm gonna do an intro real quick to AJTV episode 21. Can you believe I've done 21 of these in like 2 months? It's been like 2 months since I've done this. I am very honored to have my good friend Cora Poge here, who is, she's a lot of things. I'll throw her in the category, and I'm sure she'll fight out of this box really quickly, of digital nomad and online life coach, spiritual life coach. And so she's going to share with us how she grew her entire business without any marketing funnel, none of the stuff that I do all the time. She kind of did it the complete opposite way, which is great. It's just, I think, the other side of the coin, which is why me and Cora work so well together. So this is episode 21 of AJTV. Cue intro. Okay. All right, one more time. Welcome to AJTV episode 21. I'm here with my good friend Cora, the show where we interview top-level entrepreneurs, authors, consultants, coaches, fitness people, all of them, health coaches, and other unicorn-type people, and ask them all about their ninja secrets on how they live their best, most successful, happy life. And today we have Cora Poge. Cora, you're on.
Awesome. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So, Cora, why don't you, obviously I know who you are, a lot of people, a little bit in my world know who you are, but some people, maybe this is their first time hearing of you or me, so why don't you give us a little bit of a background, kind of like tell us what your deal is.
Okay, great. So, I'm a soul alignment coach, and that's a spiritual life coach, and I help people drop down out of the head and the ego and fear and doubt and into their heart and soul. And what that looks like is a life that goes from being lived in a place of a lot of anxiety and fear and maybe depression even, into a life filled with much more peace and flow and abundance and what I say, truth as well, a life that's really aligned with our truth. And so really awesome. What I teach is presence and living out of the head. And many, many teachers out there do. I remember reading Eckhart Tolle when I was young, and so many people who are talking about this and teaching it. I'm so grateful for that. And then I think I also have maybe a unique, almost goofier, lighter, more modern style of working with this concept.
I like the word. Yeah, I would say that's very accurate. I think it's interesting too. I was listening to Eckhart Tolle literally earlier today when I was skateboarding. So I've taken up skateboarding because I'm a grown ass man, and I thought, well, what better time to not learn how to skateboard than right now? So okay, cool. So how did you end up here? Like, that's a question I think a lot of people who maybe admire what you do or wish they could do what you're doing or are trying to. How does one go from an elementary school teacher to what you're doing right now?
Oh, yes. Such an amazing question. The first thing that comes up for me is a huge part of my journey has been the word coming up is resilience, actually, and a willingness to follow the signs, the clues that I knew I was on the right path for me, even when it looked irrational or illogical, or I had so many voices in my head saying you should stay in teaching, you should do something safe, etc. So it really was a resilience to knowing and a commitment to knowing that there was more possible for me. And that's huge. I think that's one reason I really connect with you, AJ, because you live that. And then for me, you're welcome. It was also like a total humble, and I still really embody this ideally, is a humble learner mentality. So much of the time, I'm always surrounding myself with people who are where I want to be, and just saying, teach me everything. Like, and And not in a, I'm making them a guru or giving my power away, because I know that we all have the same, like the same resources or potential within. But I just want to learn from those who have put that potential into practice. So every step of the way, I've surrounded myself with guides, with coaches, with masterminds, with role models, and now it's a fun game. I love it when I find people, and I just like, I'm like, ooh, yeah. Ooh.
They're what can I learn from you?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And then I also, to get from an elementary school teacher to now, I took risks, like leaving my teaching position when my coaching business wasn't yet making the income that would support me. And so I was willing to leave, and then I was willing to practice what I call heart-centered hustle, which is I had 5 other jobs at one time while I was building my business. I was a hostess in a restaurant, a nursery school music teacher, a personal trainer, all at once. Oh, I worked a breakfast buffet all at once, and I just didn't complain about it. I always knew it, it kind of brings up emotion because it was really a beautiful experience, especially on reflection. But I just always knew that I was bridging the gap between where I was and what I wanted, and I was willing to do what needed to be done.
Yeah, and I think that's like, I mean, among many reasons why we get along is because I have a similar thing when it comes to masterminds and coaching, where I'm always trying to learn from other people, probably to a fault, because I probably do give my power away sometimes, but I just want to learn so much. I try to stay in the, like, in the humble mode as long as humanly possible, because there's so much more to do, and I'm not where I want to be yet, so I'm not going to pretend I know more than other, even if I do. So I think that's why. And the other thing I really love about you is that because we're in such an immediacy world when it comes to marketing and businesses, and now like this idea of online coaching is so like mainstreamish a little bit. I feel like it is anyway. Maybe it's just because I'm surrounded by it. But people want to do what you're doing, but they're not necessarily willing to do the hustle it requires to build the business you built. Because like you said, there was like that bridge that where everything wasn't necessarily set, but you knew this is what you wanted to do. So first of all, kudos is the worst word, but I'm gonna say kudos because nothing else is coming to mind. But that's amazing that you would do that, that you would have the amount of bravery to kind of jump out there and just say, you know what, I know this is what I'm gonna do. So if I have to play the starving artist for a while, the starving life coach, I will, because this is what I meant to do. What would be your counsel to anybody who right now, and maybe I'm jumping ahead, but I don't care, is thinking about that, and they're saying, you know, I want to do more. What are the things that held you back, or in your experience have held other people you've worked with back?
Yeah. Well, so one of the biggest questions, one of the biggest blocks I see is people saying that, like, what do I really have to offer the world that's new? There's so many coaches. There's so many that. Like a saturated market. And so what I have to say to that is, to me, that isn't true at all, that there's just limitless ideal clients out in the world. And actually, many of my clients hire more than one coach because we all have different specialties and styles. So just to see quickly that block, that what do I have to offer that's different, is simply the ego making up stories to keep us from taking action. Yeah. And to just get tough love with the ego, actually. Like, okay, I hear you, and this sounds like another story to keep me from taking action. So I'm going to ground you lovingly and move forward anyways. And with that, too, I just want to share this power question. For me, at least, this woman, Beth Davis, who's a marketing genius, said to me one time, well, said to an entire conference. I just always feel like it's
she was
to
talking
me.
To you. No, I think she was talking to you. I think everybody was just there, but she was talking to you.
She looked into my eyes and said,
held your hand. I get it. She held your hand. She said, everybody leave. This is for Cora.
asked me, and then violin started playing, and then she asked me, when were you most on your knees in your life, and what helped you heal? And she said, that's your target market, the people who were on their knees like you were, that's your service, what helped you heal? And she helped me see that when I was most in the dark in my life, it was actually providing a blueprint for what I'm here on the earth to offer. And so that was a powerful question too, and helped me shift out of, I don't have anything to offer. It's like, actually, I've been through so much in my life, and from that have so much to offer. And I know everybody has their own story there.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's, I think that's super helpful, because like there's that is a huge mental block. What do I have to offer? I think for me, and maybe you could actually answer this for me, or maybe somebody else, but what would you do with when somebody who feels like everything in their life isn't sorted enough yet to the point where they feel like they should be giving counsel to others? Because I remember I had a mental block with this too, because even though my businesses were successful, I was like, well, my personal life, while it's fine, is kind of all over the place. I don't know who my friends are. I stay up too late. I watch too much TV. And so like if I needed to jump into spiritual life coaching of any sort, personal development of any sort, and I hate to lump you in a box or put you in anything, but I wouldn't feel like I'm ready. So what would you say to somebody like me, not me, but somebody like me, who is wanting to go into the personal development world, spiritual growth world, but doesn't feel like all their stuff, their house isn't in order yet? What would be your advice? Do you think they should get their house in order, or do you think that they offer value anyway?
I know they offer value anyways, as okay. long as they're congruently focused on getting their house in order also. Mm. So the way that I see this is there's a ladder, of people, and at every rung there's a group of people. So even if I'm like down here on the ladder and things are still feeling really unsorted and kind of disorganized and I still have so much growth to do, there's still people I can serve. Mm-hmm. Always on that ladder, there's always those people I can still serve that maybe I've learned a few more lessons along the way. So there's always people to serve. And the way I stay in my integrity and always have on my journey is having my own guides, teachers, coaches every step of the way, as I said earlier, so I know that I'm still learning, growing, expanding too. And to me, that has helped me, those two components.
Okay, awesome. So bullet pointed, if I wanted to write the bullet points down, because I guaranteed somebody's probably writing this down right now who's watching, yeah. What would be the bullet points on what you just said?
The bullet points would be, one, that there's always people to serve, because we're on a learning continuum. And so mm-hmm. there's people that are behind us on the learning continuum, and there are people that are in front of us. I hesitate mm-hmm. to get so black and white about it. It's probably more of a spiral. But there's mm-hmm. always people we can serve who would benefit from wherever we're at on our journey. And two is that a commitment to that inner work and our own spiritual or life coaching with our own coaches and guides helps keep us, to me, growing, learning, honest, and even more ready and what's the word, like, ooh, it's almost like continuing education then as okay. coaches to serve our people. The only reason I would ever hold back from coaching would okay. or from diving in would be if it felt like I was trying to distract myself from my own stuff with clients and work. So that would be the only reason I would.
Okay, got you. No, I'm with you. I'm more asking. Sometimes people ask me these questions. This is why, as long as you'll come, and as long as you'll have me, I will bring you to every retreat, because I can't answer those questions as eloquently or as intelligently, because it's not my zone of genius or even my zone of excellence. So that's why I'm asking you, because I think of all these questions that other people have asked me, and I'm like, well, I have Cora here, I got to get all this stuff out. So cool. All right, if you're new to coaching, And this question's from Carrie Thies, as she wants to get into coaching, helping people. What's the best way to start to like break into this world? I know you mentioned breaking through the limiting beliefs, which I think is huge, that there's like a finite amount of customers, because there's not. But how does she start? What's the first thing she does to get into this industry if she wants to be the next Cora Poge? No one can be the next Cora Poge.
Well, there's a couple things. One is just, so it helped me to have some kind of training. So I went to the Institute of Integrated Nutrition. I also got a master's in spiritual psychology. Both were amazing, yet not totally necessary. I enjoyed having that background. There's tons of options out there for this type of an education. If someone feels, I'm not sure where Carrie is at, but if we feel like we've had some training and we're ready, then the best way to dive into this industry from my experience is to just start coaching, to start practicing. I sent out an email to all my friends and family and said, I'm coaching now. This is my new business. And I'm offering a special rate to people who are willing to be my guinea pigs, was the word I used. And just said I'd love to practice with you. I got 8 people who were interested in that immediately. 4 of them became clients. So that was one email with maybe one reminder. Okay. That helped a lot. And I emphasized in that email, I'm only taking a handful of people and I need to know by this date to help with the motivation. And then the other thing was, I know I shared this at the last retreat, but I also see life as a networking event. I still do. And I meet most of my clients on the plane or at grocery stores or at parties or walking around my town. So it's also being really open to when there's a connection, when we can feel intuitively that this could be a potential client, and a willingness to say, to tell them what I do, to talk about it. And also, this is maybe obvious knowledge, but I don't ever give business cards away for potential clients. I always get their information. And now I just put the discovery session in my phone calendar immediately in that first meeting, because any more time than that will give too much space for the ego brain to kick in for the client, for them to go into resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it allows. Yeah, no, you're right on there. It's funny that you said that you don't have business cards. I, for years, have not wanted a business card because I hate business cards. And you know, Amanda, I remember one time she ordered me some and I was like, what is this trash? I remember one day they just appeared at the studios. This was back when we had the studios in Chicago. And I was like, I don't want business cards. First of all, I don't want people calling my cell phone. I want to be able to call them and I want to be able to email them. And when you go somewhere and somebody really wants to connect with you, it puts you in a little bit of a better position. And again, this is a tactic. This is the opposite of what you do. But to have their information versus them having your information, strategically, I guess, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, and interest. It was a strategy for me too, because one day I found a stack of business cards that people had given me, and I had never called any of those people, AJ. And
no.
I went, oh, well, that's where all my business cards are, because I used to have them. Nobody uses them, so it actually was strategic for me as well, where I went, ding, 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 this is, what am I doing? And
totally.
So now it's just a way of life for me.
Cool. Yeah, I think too, to add and echo what you're saying, is having confidence in what you offer makes it a lot easier or simpler. Easy is not the right word. Simpler for you to treat life like a networking event, because you have full confidence in what you're offering. You know what you're doing has value. And so you don't feel bad if somebody wants to. If you feel bad when people are buying your stuff, your thing, there's probably something that's not perfect with your program and that you need to feel better about. Because even our program, I sell literal relatives into my coaching programs and they don't get a discount. They don't get anything because that is what it's worth. And I have no problem with it because I know the amount of value it adds, and I know you're very similar as well. What do you do, to kind of follow up with the question, what do you do those first people that you emailed, did you coach them for free and like just try to get some testimonials and, you know, get your proof of concept down? Did you give them some sort of intro rate, or did you just charge them what you charge people now?
The first two people I did for free, and that was my dad and my sister.
Okay,
those were my first two clients.
Then, was your dad like, you know, I have to tell you about my daughter. She really just hits me here. And you're like, you need to repair your relationship with him.
Totally.
Yes.
It's so funny. It was actually, I realized that family members in my line of work are too close to home. But,
yeah.
And it was really helpful anyways, because what I saw was the value of the work, even with my dad and my sister, was the value of this coaching, even just of providing 50 minutes for someone to feel heard, seen, and understood. It's huge. And for someone to feel like they get to go inside and find their own answers. And so I saw the brilliance of it quickly. And then the next few clients were friends, from college even, or friends I worked at the restaurant with. I charged them a discounted rate.
Okay.
But you know what I did in the beginning, AJ, was I feel like I raised my rates almost every month.
Okay.
I started very, very low, and I raised them almost every month, and it wasn't easy for me, but it became easier as I saw their results. Saw the coaching results, and then I got their testimonials, and I would read those even for myself. Even if I didn't put them on my website, I would just read them and then feel more confident.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it was word of mouth too that really took off, and I went, oh, if they're recommending me, I'm not asking them to recommend me. Like, okay, this is something that's really valuable.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think that's like, if your program's that good, you shouldn't have to ask people to recommend you. They should just do it out of thankfulness to you, and because of what you're doing offers a lot of value. And I think obviously it does. That's awesome. We have a question on here by a guy named Fat Tan Najulian. I don't know if you know them, but they were asking, how do you deal with haters? Because of the spirit world, a lot of people think it's all woo-woo, or they think you're trying to hustle them, or whatever, right? Maybe it just hits their ego to a point where they don't like it. How do you handle them, or do you just not have any? Because I could see that being your reality as well.
It's all love.
They only love you. Yeah, no.
So,
but go ahead.
Yeah, one thing is I'm so, I know my spiritual connection deeply to, and I love it and trust it, and so anybody who questions it, I don't give a lot of energy to anymore. But I will say this is one example that I can give some strategies on. I sent out an email to my list after not sending emails out for a long time, and my business manager wanted me to keep connecting to them, and I heard back from a woman who just said, what gives you any right to be a life coach? Your life is in shambles. You don't know yourself. You're totally an ego. And I read this and I was like, wow. Okay.
Wow.
And so I took a couple deep breaths, because one of my strategies that I learned at my spiritual psych school is how to take nothing personally, how to take no feedback personally, but how to ask, what if any of this is valuable? What if any of this is actually valuable? Because for me just to be like, well, F this, like she's crazy, is potentially missing a learning opportunity too.
Yeah.
And so I looked at it, and it did help ground me and help me go, okay, how can I share a little differently, or how can I show my humanness? Because what I sensed from it is that she wanted a life coach to appear perfect and to have it all together all the time. And that's just fake.
Yes.
I don't know anybody like that. And that's not my brand. And so maybe she's not an ideal client. So maybe she'll go off my list, and that's okay. So that's another way I deal with haters,
haters.
Well, maybe I'm not their person, and that's okay.
And that's fine.
And also, I can't tell you how many clients I've had come to me and say, Cora, you triggered me. Your Facebook posts upset me. I was like, who is this sparkly light person? And is this real? And then I went, wait a minute. She triggers me because I want that too.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I remember that it's the haters that actually most want to work with me or be a part of this world, but they've got some protection walls up.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's good. A little bit reminds me of Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements. The first one, don't take it personally. That helps me a lot. I'll add to that. One of the things I try to think of is in every person's version of any story, they're always the good guy and you're always the bad guy. So like in this exchange, when you get people hating on you, you know, you're the good guy. You're like, oh my gosh, this person attacked my Facebook Live, or this person attacked me in an email. Some of these emails too, they're like long and thought out. I don't know if you've ever gotten it. I don't get too many of them anymore, but occasionally I get these long ones. But anyway, you look like you're 15 and things like that. In their version of the story, I'm the bad guy. And I try to understand that, and I try to do a little bit of what you do, where I take what they're saying and say, okay, well, what am I doing? Am I doing something wrong, or am I just doing something that's triggering them because maybe they're not doing what they want to do, or they see something in me that they don't like about themselves or whatever. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Fat, there. Cool. Carrie asked, Carrie's all over you today. When you train your clients or work with your clients, how do you do it? Do you have like, and I'm paraphrasing your question because I know what you mean, Carrie. Do you have like a course curriculum? Do you have like, you know, what we do on the first session? Do you have like modules and trainings that they go through, or is everything one-to-one working with you kind of more organic? How does that look?
So now, so I used to follow outlines that the Institute of Integrative Nutrition provided, and I would follow them. They offered 12 outlines for 12 sessions over 6 months, and I would follow those pretty regularly. But then when I started to trust my own intuition and the process and the life of its own that a session would take, I let go of those pretty quickly. And so now I have my clients' goals next to me. They have 1 month, 3 month, 6 month goals, and I have those on a sheet next to me or on the computer. So I know what those are, and those keep us focused. But mostly it's more in the moment, and I do a grounding and a meditation at first to start the session, and I usually pull a card to bless the session, and then I follow up on their intentions and actions from the last session, because we always have action steps at the end of every session, because that makes the coaching so much more powerful when it's the breakthroughs that happen in the session and then the follow through on the actions that we come up with. So it might be reach out to 3 new people, potential clients, or update website, but I'll follow up with my clients on those. Mm-hmm. And I have been known to hang up on clients who haven't done their action steps, because it's a waste of my time and theirs if there isn't that shift in growth.
Totally.
Very rare, but it has happened.
Happens all the time. She will sign you up and then hang up on you. You'll try to call her. She'll just, nope, I'm busy. I was getting some juice.
Oh my. And then I'll ask what's present for them now. What do they most want to share or talk about or get clarity on? And I often say to them too, what do you least want to talk about right now? What is present and on the mind that you don't want to talk about? Because that's often where the breakthrough's at. And then the session just can take on a life of its own. So it's less outlined out now after years of doing this work.
More organic. Cool. Yeah. And I'll add, my world's a little bit different, but I'll add to that. With me, and I'm a business coach, right? And I don't take on as many clients as you for one-on-one. I take like 5. And them, it's very much just like, well, I do action steps. I said, what were your action steps for last week? Did you do them? Kind of the same thing. You didn't do them? All right, later. Like, and then, well, what are you working on? Right? What do you need help with? why are you here on this call with me? And kind of just let it organically happen instead of trying to force a curriculum. So I think when you start having a curriculum school, even the show, like I used to have a show flow, which some people tell me I should still have, but I don't. And now I just kind of show up here and talk to you. You asked me earlier, like, what's the, what are we talking about? Or are we just kind of improvising? I'm like, we just kind of improv. I know kind of what I want to ask you. And it's also different because we're actual friends in real life. So it's a lot less nerve-wracking to talk to you in some ways. Cool. All right. If you guys have any, I guess last thing is, what are you doing right now that's working in your business in terms of getting new clients in, kind of, I know you do a lot of retreats, and not just mine, but you do other people's retreats too. So what are you doing right now that's really working in your business that you would want to share with everybody here watching, listening?
Well, I'm living a life that I am obsessed with, that I just love. And so I just, it's so natural, AJ, I just share what's going on my life on Facebook or Instagram. Or in a newsletter, and just that's working. One of my favorite Instagram messages yesterday was, what are you doing with your life? You went through a loving divorce and ended up in Hawaii. I went through a contentious divorce and ended up stuck in New Jersey. That was the message. So it's like, it's just living a life that I really love and continuing to follow that path, and then being willing to be seen in it. To share, to spread that light, and then that's what works for me. People will naturally want to come and ask, "What's going on? What am I doing?"
Totally,
and that's been working.
What would you say to like a skeptical person who says, because I was a skeptical person, still am, but I don't think as much, and who says that worked for you because you were lucky, or you have more friends than me, or whatever, right? You just were in the right place at the right time, and that won't work for me because what would you say to that person?
I would say, if you keep telling yourself that story, that's going to be your reality.
What would you tell that person if they said, help me?
I would say, you have to be willing to rewrite the story from victim to hero or victim to heroine, and that there's no difference between me and anybody else, except for I was willing to rewrite my story. And if I feel like going into it, I'll flash back 8 years ago in my own life when I was living in anxiety and depression, couldn't even look in the mirror because I hated myself so much, and was making an income that led me to be afraid of not even sure, blah, 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 where I wasn't even sure I could buy winter shoes. So I can also use my own story to show that it wasn't like this. I haven't just always been born with, what is it, a silver spoon in my mouth?
Yeah.
I could also share that for sure. And I would also say to a skeptic to read my testimonials on my website to see that I have all ages, all life backgrounds, everybody. And then I would probably say to stop whining.
Oh, good. There's the Leo. I knew we could get her out if we pushed. If you poke the lion enough, she'll eventually, her claws will come out, or the teeth, or whatever you want to call it. All right. Cool. No, I agree with you. I think, you know, it's the only people, and this sounds like not that smart of a thing, but the only people who complain about how broke they are and how trying doesn't work are broke people who don't try, is what I've found. Successful people, they're all into mindfulness. They all meditate. They all believe in personal growth. They all understand the ROI. They understand the difference between an investment and an expense. And really, I think the big difference is they look at not just money, but time and resources and energy as infinite. Where when you're in that broke person's mindset, you think, okay, I have, you know, this much money ever, and I'll never have more. So I have to be very, I have to just use it for food and to live and to shelter, and that's it. Instead of understanding that you could put that out there and offer some sort of value and get more coming back in any amount. So Cool. Awesome. I think this was pretty, I mean, I would give this an A as an interview. What do you think?
I would absolutely give it an A, and
I would give it an A.
I would almost go higher, but then I would remember that there's always room for growth.
There's
So, you
always
know.
room for, yes, exactly. No, we don't want to go, it's not 100. It's never
No, no.
100%. I used to have a teacher in high school, I remember to this day. He never gave 100% because all his tests were papers, and he's like, there's no such thing as a perfect paper. And we had this very type A personality in our class who would get really pissed off about that. But anyways, I was the guy who would just skate by, so it doesn't matter. Awesome. If I want to follow Cora, or let's say, I don't know, attend a retreat you may or may not be co-leading in Los Angeles area, where can I find you? Where can I like stalk your stuff, read these testimonials you have, maybe get your emails or Instagram posts or whatever? Where's the best way to contact you?
My website is my first and last name.com, so CoraPoage.com, or Cora@corapoge.com if you want to direct email me.
Okay.
And Facebook is great too, so my first and last name
Okay.
with Coco in parentheses. And on Instagram, I'm Coach Coco.
Instagram is Coach Coco. Okay, cool. I'll add to that if you want to maybe hang out with me and Cora at the Best Friends Club, Corey will throw the, oh, he already did it. He'll throw the link in to our next retreat, which is June 22nd, which is for entrepreneurs of any sorts who want to hang out with me and Cora and think, I don't know, we have cool hats and hair. Maybe you want to learn some stuff too. So yeah, cool. Cora, thank you so much for being here.
You're
It
so
is,
welcome.
as always, my honor. Hit me with some hearts and likes if you liked Cora here. Feel free to tag anybody if you feel like this is of some sort of value. Go to Cora's page, highly recommend it, and kind of get in her world if you can. And that is that. Cora, I'll talk to you. I'm gonna mute you here, and then I'll talk to you for a minute after this. Cool? Awesome. So, awesome, guys. So, this was AJTV episode 21, interview with Coach Coco. If you want any more information about her, corapoge.com, and we will leave those in the show notes if you're watching this on YouTube or podcast. We'll also leave the link in the retreat and link to the retreat in the Facebook comments and in the show notes, ptfreedom.co/mastermindretreat, and that'll be co-led by me and Cora here in Beverly Hills, California. So thank you guys so much for watching. As always, I'm not asking you for any money. Just please like this, subscribe, share, or troll me in the comments too. That would be great. And Facebook reads it all the same, so I don't really care. All right, thank you, and I'll talk soon.